Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of The Jay Pitch Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A, in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.
Let me talk to you for a minute about my friend Michael Bush. Mike has spent over 20 plus years with Northwestern Mutual as a financial advisor and manages an office here in Louisville. He's my own personal financial advisor. One reason is that he knows that my investments in real estate and my business are my best investments where I get my best returns. After that, I also invest in the stock market for diversification and tax advantages. Mike and his team have done a great job handling those investments for me. Their team takes a comprehensive look at planning, so he's regularly bringing up ideas that add value and build a more secure plan. Things like protecting my income with disability insurance, protecting my family with life insurance, and ways to get more out of my cash that would otherwise be sitting in a savings account earning nothing. Mike and his team at Northwestern Mutual have been great partners for me and my family, and I encourage you to give him a call. No obligation, just a conversation to see how they can help. Call Michael Bush at 502-727-2758 or email him at michael.bush@nm.com.
We spent the past couple of years in a crazy hot market.
Louisville home sales decline as demand outpaces supply.
Effective communication is at the core of any situation. If you master these two ideas, you'll have a chance of being successful at residential real estate marketing.
I think you need to be looking for investment opportunities that move the needle.
The market will never crash if demand exceeds supply.
This is what I've been telling you all along.
This is the Jay Pitts Show. Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. I'm your host, Jay Pitts. Here we're back for another week. Happy Saturday morning. We talked about, you know, whether we should do this show live, but I think we determined that that's not in the cards for us. What do you think, Ryan?
Not yet.
Not just yet. Maybe one day.
I'm over here smiling right before we started this show. Jay was asking me if I've ever seen Caddyshack, and I'm pretty offended.
Well, I did say, and, you know, I'm not an ageist here. It's just a realist. The movie is probably twice Ryan's age. So, and he did admit to watching it as a youngster on DVD because he's never owned DVDs himself personally. And we're going to have a conversation.
Jay, my parents don't know that yet.
With his folks about that because that movie is not appropriate for young children. Anyway. As I should have finished, yeah, this is the Jay Pitts Show. Welcome back here on Talk Radio 1080. I think we got a great show for you today. Ryan, what's on the docket?
Well, I was going to say, you know, watching that show nowadays would be the last, I would say, of parents' worries with everything out there.
This is true. This is true. But somehow, it's still more, it's more inappropriate to show your kids stuff like that in today's day and age when your kids are absolutely exposed to more in the real world.
Yeah. So, no doubt. But, we got a fun little show today. We're going to be learning a little bit more about you, your life as an entrepreneur, different philosophies you have. So get ready. I enjoy these shows, but we'll start the way we always do. And it's a real estate question. It's actually, I have two for me.
Okay.
Not from any consumer. These are my questions. So do you think real estate agents should always dress professionally? And how's it changed since you've been in the business?
I've changed a lot personally. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That word's tough. Professionally is tough. Formally,
I'm not talking suit and tie or just tie always, but just right. Collared shirt. Nice pants.
Dress shoes. It's subjective. So here's what I tell people. I tell people to look like you mean to look that way.
Yeah.
You know, but like we're right here, Ryan, and this is on video, so people will see. You got a backwards ball cap, shorts, and a golf shirt and tennis shoes. That's cool. Like I'm wearing,
you know, some kind of very casual dress shoes, like tennis shoe dress shoes with rubber soles and no socks, a pair of jeans. And like, this is like what I try to pass off as like a polo shirt. It's a polo shirt without a collar.
It's crazy that those are considered golf shirts now.
Yeah, it's not. It's so like, for me, I just think you ought to have, you ought to do what you do and do it on purpose. So if, you know, you don't have facial hair, you should be clean shaven every day. You should fix your hair every day. If you're not wearing a ball, I think you can wear a ball cap if you want, but it should be part of what you mean to look like. Nothing should be on accident. You shouldn't look lazy. You shouldn't look like you woke up late. You shouldn't look like you were out too late last night. You should look like you mean to look that way, because what you're trying to convey is responsibility. You know, you want to be someone that somebody trusts with something that's important to them as a real estate agent. So, you know, I've hired real estate agents that have worked for me they work with their hands, you know, and they wear boots and jeans and, you know, a polo shirt and a ball cap every day. And they look like they're going to go from the job site to the closing room,
which I believe some consumers love that.
Some consumers love it. And I'd be lying if I told you that I didn't tailor my dress day to day based on what I have going on that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I tend to have less meetings, so I tend to dress slightly more casually. Anymore, I've taken very formal meetings in less than formal dress. COVID seemed to change that a lot for me. You know, frankly, over the last couple of years, I've gotten a lot better shape, and I don't feel like I have to hide behind formal clothes because I'm proud of the way I look.
Yeah.
To be honest. So, it's, I think you can get away, if you're fit, I think you can get away with a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just to be honest, I think you can. I really do. And so, I think everything about your persona, because that's what I told somebody this today at a recruiting meeting before we came here. You're not selling real estate, you're selling yourself. And so what is selling yourself? It's experience, it's, you know, dependability, it's being prompt, it's being, you know, all those good qualities that you want to see. And so I'm not just selling myself to a consumer, I'm selling myself to a real estate agent who's then got to sell themselves to the consumer. So I got to be the best example.
Right.
And so that's kind of the way I look at it as far as dress. I used to think that you had to nearly wear a suit every day when I first started. The reality of my work meant that I was in dirty places all the time, so that morphed into khakis and a polo shirt, right, and dress shoes. And then now it's like, if I put on a suit once a year, it's a big deal.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about the less formal clothes now? Yeah. It's probably just as expensive as
formal clothes used to be.
Like the nice polos or like just Lululemon shirts and pants. You're spending $400 in the shoes. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just as much, if not more, than a suit.
Yeah, sometimes.
But no, that's cool. All right, I had one more question, a personal one that I have. What's the conservation reserve program on the vacant land contract?
Yeah, so it's kind of hard and a little deep to get into, but basically Farm Service Agency is administering a program where they'll essentially rent your land from you if you're a farmer.
Okay.
And it's a way that they can control the supply of certain crops. So it's akin to, you know, subsidies that they would provide like tobacco farmers like once upon a time, because, you know, Kentucky used to be one of the largest tobacco producers in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we've determined as a country that it's better for public health if that less tobacco is produced, right? So you don't want like entire economies based on the production of a product that harms the public,
right?
So, but you have these farmers who've staked their livelihoods and their futures and their families and their whole communities on the production of this one thing. So Conservation Reserve Program basically allows the U.S. Department of Agriculture to come in and say, hey, we don't want you to produce this, but in exchange, we're going to rent your land from you.
Gotcha.
And, you know, sometimes it also allows, you know, because certain crops, and I'm by no means a farmer, strip the land of natural resources. There have been some people that are actually kind of really, I pointed to my head like they're mental, but maybe they are, maybe they're not. But there's been some people that suggest that the the suitability of our soil only has another, I don't know, 50 years worth of crop production in it because of the stripping of certain nutrients with factory farming. And I know that really serious farmers rotate crops, right? Because they don't want to strip. I'm going to make this up. They don't want to strip all of, certain minerals out of certain tracts of land.
Yeah.
Because they don't reproduce naturally after that. I'd probably be, going way out on a limb if I picked what mineral we were talking about here. Gotcha. But my point is the U.S. Department of Agriculture certainly gets involved in that kind of stuff. Okay.
Seems like a weird thing to be on the real estate contract.
It is a little weird.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's vacant land. So that's the contract that's used for farm for when you sell a farm. So that's why.
What if it's not a farm?
Then it's inapplicable. You just cross it out.
Gotcha. There were a lot of agents talking about this in the office the other day.
The problem with having standardized contracts.
Yeah.
And the more expensive you get into and more detailed you get into commercial real estate, the more contracts are typically drawn up by an attorney specific to a transaction.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Let's see. All right. I want to talk about this. I've heard you say this a lot, and it's always stuck with me. We won't have, enough time here to finish it, but you always talk about real estate simple, but not easy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, so the concepts of real estate, the things that make you successful, they are very easy to understand, but they're not easy to execute. So simplicity, to me, means that you can wrap your brain around it. It's simple. It's not complex. So it's simplicity versus complexity, but easy versus difficult. Right? Or easy versus hard. It's hard to show up and do boring things every day that may produce results in the future. And I use that word may because you've never done it before. So you personally haven't witnessed it. Some guy, me, is telling you to do these boring things every day, every day, every day, every day with the prospects. If I'm right and you've trusted me appropriately, that you're going to get the results you want in the future. So I'm asking for faith from our agents, but they understand what I'm asking. It's not, I'm not asking them to like learn biophysics, like things that they can't even mentally contemplate. It's show up, touch base with this person, follow up with that person, go show that house, be personable, be magnetic, be somebody that people want to like, but do it every day. Don't take a day off. Just because you don't feel well don't mean you stop, right? That's what I mean by simple but not easy.
Got it. I want to talk about that more when we come back, but we got to cut to a couple ad sponsors. This is the Jay Pitch Show, Talk Radio 1080, Real News, Real Talk. See you in a sec.
Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
You're listening to Real News, Real Talk, Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. This is Talk Radio 1080, Real News, Real Talk. So Jay and I were just discussing how real estate's simple but not easy. I want to switch that to just everyday life. Like, I think it applies to many things. And, I've heard you say this a lot. And I've heard a couple other entrepreneurs I follow say this just with anything, health. And the way I understand it now, simple is almost the choice. And easy is like it's not easy because it's hard to make that choice, but it really is just as simple as saying, yes, I'm going to do that. Whether it's getting up in the morning, like you want to run a marathon, that's not easy, but it's simple. Like, you know what you need to do.
It's not that hard to figure out what you need to do to accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
And it's really, the actual doing.
Yeah. And you really think about it, it applies to so many things.
It really does. I was going to, you know, before you said fitness related, fitness is simple, not easy. Right. It, to me, what kept me from being in good shape, you know, I mean, I was young. I was a college athlete. I was fit because of that. And then I became distracted and I chose to focus on other things. But once I realized it and that I needed to make an improvement in that area, I did like what everybody else did for probably 10 years, which is do better for a little while and then fall off, and then do better for a little while and then fall off. And until like probably, I don't know, 2 years, 2.5 years ago. And, you know, what happened was, I finally understood. This is another thing that I say a lot. You guys, if you listen to this show, you'll realize that I make things very simple for myself. Repetitive.
Which is something I'm sure you've had to learn.
Repetitive expression. It was something my dad was crazy at. Like, he would just say things over and over and over again. It was like he was selling himself constantly. I don't really quite think it's that, but the way I help people is through my own experience. And so what I realized about fitness was I didn't have to be perfect to be disciplined. So the cycle for me was disciplined to the point of perfection until failure happened once. And then that was the moment that I always fell off. Like, I would go to the gym 4 days a week for 6 straight weeks. And then I would have a week where I only went twice. And I would say, God, I'd be so dejected and frustrated. And then I'd go back to the gym 4 days the following week. And then the next week I wouldn't go at all. And so I could muster up the strength to get back at it. But then it was almost like the die was cast at that point. And I was destined to fail at that point because I wasn't perfect. And so it wasn't until I told myself that it's okay not to be perfect, that there's no reason why the discipline requires perfection. Just that simple understanding for me that was so right in front of my face the entire time, but I never saw. As soon as that hit, I was like, okay, this is it. Like, yeah. I don't, you know.
One of my favorite entrepreneurs, Nick Baer, he says it's better to be consistently okay than occasionally great.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. I think that's profound. And a lot of people, when you realize that you are the only thing that holds you back, it's really empowering.
I think that saying right there, though, it's very hard for people to, that might sound opposite to some people.
Yeah.
Other people might think it's better to be occasionally great, but when you try to be occasionally great, you take long breaks in between that great.
That's right.
And you might not ever get back to that great. So just even that day you don't want to do something, just go do it, even if you do it 10%. Be okay. You don't have to be great always.
Life is so simple, man. It really is. Life is so simple. And it's just things like discipline and, you know, work ethic and, you know, grace. And, it's just things like that that, make greatness possible.
Yeah, I've really been focusing myself on trying to simplify things and understand it. I mentioned a book a couple shows ago, The Courage to Be Disliked, and that's what the whole book's about is, you know, the world's simple, and it goes perfect with, you know, I mentioned Nick Baer. He's, you know, reading the book at the same time I am, which is why I started, and it's good to hear, his thoughts on it, and he's trying to simplify a lot of things in his life, and I don't know, it's been great. I think it's something a lot of people in the world could focus more on the simplicity of things.
Yeah, we needlessly complicate as a species.
Yeah.
Some people don't think it's worth it unless it's complicated. And that blows my mind.
Yeah, which is pretty weird.
Yeah.
I would love for things to be more simple, which is why I'm trying to learn about it.
Well, things are about to get harder in life, man. And so, like, I mean, you're going to be responsible for another human being's well-being. So, you know, figuring it out for yourself is really important right now. I remember those days, and it's, you know, the thing I think that's important there is you just need to know that you'll never be perfect, and you need to give both you and your wife need to be forgiving of each other, because you just can't, like, she doesn't know what you're like as a father. I'm sorry to shrink your relationship right now, but she doesn't know what you're going to be like as a father, and you don't know what she's going to be like as a mother, and you just got to figure it out.
We could start a parenting
relationship
podcast.
Or parenting podcast.
Yeah. New parent.
Sage wisdom from the guy who did it three times, so he knows everything.
Don't go play golf 3 days a week.
Do not do that. Do not do that.
All right. Are there any other things you've complicated that were simple?
Leadership. And I know that sounds like it's in the same vein, but yeah, leadership is.
I don't think so. I'm curious to hear what you mean by that.
So to me, I learned to lead from the front. And that's great, but there's a trap in leading from the front. There's a trap in leading from the front because the expectation is that, I think for a lot of people when they lead from the front, is you're trying to coach your people to be as good as you are. And they don't want to be as good as you are. They follow you because you're good. Like, so when you take a step back from production, if you're a salesperson or, like, you know, the person who keeps the lights on in a business, and you take a step back from that and you allow other people to kind of surge and take on some of those responsibilities, even if it's as a collective, there's all these things, like, you know, carrots and sticks. You know, you've heard about carrots and sticks in terms of ways to motivate people. You know, the carrot is when you lead somebody with something and they chase it, and the stick is when you crack the whip and you kind of make them do it. And most of that's just kind of BS, man. Like, carrot, like you need to understand, like, the stick is, it doesn't exist, I don't think, in the world anymore. Like, people don't want to be disciplined. People don't want to be told. Like, every once in a while, like, you'll notice in my leadership, man, I'll raise my voice every once in a while, but it's very sparing.
Yeah.
I did it in our team retreat this year. I said, look, you guys are not as good as you should be. We're the best, but you're not as good as you should be. And that's a compliment, right? We're the best, but we're not as good as we can be. And so you got to make it a priority. And people responded to that, but they responded very sparingly because I don't do it so often. I used to overcomplicate things. I used to make people come in and do, like, call hours and turn in sheets of paper with little tick marks on them. And, like, you know what they would do, really? Really, genuinely. From 10 to 12 a.m. or 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., 10 a.m. to noon. 5 days a week, we would come to the office and we would prospect together as a team. And you know what they do? They would goof off the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they would turn in their sheet with, like, 60 tick marks on it. And I'm like, you didn't make 60 calls.
No.
But I didn't really want to say that to them because it made me have to acknowledge the fact that I put them in a position where they were going to do that. So you know what I do now? I hire people that don't need the carrot or the stick. And I put them in a position to win. And guess, you know what they do? Winners win.
All right.
So leadership is complicated. It is overcomplicated often, and it should be very simple. The most complex part of leadership is problem solving. And it's because problem solving is not always easy. But honestly, problem solving can be simplified a lot too.
So I was going to say, where I've been able to observe you simplifying things that could be complicated are when agents come to you with questions and you simply just ask them what they think. Because as you say all the time, most agents know the answer to their question. They just want confirmation.
Validation.
And you simplify it where it could be complicated. You could give them the answer, but simplify it and let them answer their own question.
That's it. And it's so much faster. Like, I don't need your 20-minute diatribe. Like, okay, tell me the answer that you think is right. And let me ask you a question or two. Let me challenge it maybe slightly. And then say, you're right. Let's go.
And you're going to get that 20-minute soap opera every now and then, just simply because, as we said, it is a stressful industry and some agents need that time, almost like a therapist,
that is.
Of telling you their problem, and then they answer their own problem, which, you know, I've never been to see a therapist, but it's how it seems it goes in the movies.
they want to be heard. You're right. They want to be heard, and that's just being people, you know, being a human being. You need to be heard. Some people, you know, everybody wants to tell, it's like, why do people look at the train wreck? Why do they rubberneck at the accident when they're driving down? It's just human yep. stuff. All right. That's all the time we got for this segment, folks. We're going to cut to a few sponsors. We'll be back right after the break with the Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080. Hey, listen up. Do you own a car, truck, or boat? Do you own a business? Do you own or rent a home? If so, let's face it, you need to protect these assets from damage caused by accidents. For that, you need a friend in the insurance business. Let my friend John Blackford with Kentucky Farm Bureau protect you. Like many of you listening, Jen and I have worked hard to build our businesses over the years. John has delivered on his promise to protect us when we've needed it the most. We've experienced losses as small as a crack in our windshield or as big as a catastrophic property fire. While he has 2 decades of experience, Kentucky Farm Bureau has over a century of operational excellence all across the state. Every year, insurance companies move in and out of Kentucky, but Farm Bureau has proven to be a constant. John and Kentucky Farm Bureau have perfected the balance of providing service and coverage at competitive rates. Listen, we've all worked hard, and loss or damage is inevitable. This is why we all need a friend in the insurance industry. John Blackford has been that genuine friend to me for years. Let John Blackford be that friend to you. Call him today at 502-327-5480 for advice on all your insurance needs.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
Real news, real talk. Talk Radio 1080, an iHeart Radio station.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk. All right, Jay. What podcast have you been listening to, man?
Ooh. I have a couple.
Do you have time for them anymore?
I have a little time. You know, so I got introduced to the concept of your shelf. Have you heard of this?
I've never heard of that.
So it's obviously we produce a radio show and as a podcast as well. So your shelf is essentially like what you have time for, what the average human being or podcast consumer has time for. And what they say is that I want to say it's like the average consumer only like subscribes to like up to 5 shows, but then they typically never listen to more than 2 regularly. And there's always one that dominates.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause people just don't have enough time.
I'd say I fall into that category.
So you're like on a shelf, like you as a podcast producer want to be on the shelf.
Yeah.
Right. Because if they hit subscribe, then that shows in your metrics, like you get less plays, but you got subscriptions, whatever. I mean, we're not trying to monetize or anything like that, but, you know,
I could do this show shirtless and do OnlyFans video.
I don't think anybody would subscribe.
You didn't see that maybe, one coming, did
maybe
you?
People would pay us to go away.
That's fine with me.
Pay me to go away. Yeah. What am I listening to? Okay. So I've told you before, and you listeners of the show, I listen to mostly political podcasts and I follow political news and not Fox or CNN or MSNBC, like not cable news. I follow it because I think the economy is downstream from politics. I think frankly, and I said this in a meeting yesterday, I don't know if listeners want to hear this or not, but I think the economy has been commandeered by the executive branch of government and is simply a vehicle for election and reelection, and I hate it. You know, without fail, you see the year prior to a presidential election is typically the best economic year in the four-year cycle. Always, like, without fail. It just shows you how much power the executive branch has over the economy mm-hmm. by controlling the Fed and monetary policy and all that. So, like, I listen to both conservative and not the fringe ones, like the more mainstream one on both sides. Typically, I listen to Ben Shapiro a lot. I think Ben's incredibly smart. I mean, he's a Harvard law grad, so yeah. I mean, the guy's kind of smart, right? He's built a big company in Daily Wire. I listen to Pod Save America a little bit. I think they're fairly moderate on the liberal side. I listen to some industry stuff. I listen to Tom Ferry. I listen to the real estate CPA should get a plug. Dude's great. It's dry.
Yeah.
But like, if you want to save on taxes, that guy will get you a lot. I've been hearing a lot about this guy, Pace Morby. Listen to him a little bit. Pace Morby is a guy that does subject to real estate deals, subject to the existing financing on a property. So he'll go in and try to buy and leave the mortgage in place and cut it a really sophisticated deal where he gets to take advantage in a rising rate environment when people are financed at 3%, but they have circumstances that require they sell. That's a really good way. Pace Morby's a good one. Those are the shelf. I've got a bigger shelf than most, but I mean, most of what I listen to day to day is probably very like slightly left or right of center political podcasts. And the Joe Rogan's the fun. That's the fun listen.
Yeah.
But that's like when he's got like a funny comedian or somebody like that. I listened to him with Robert Kennedy Jr. Did you watch the
I did that one, yeah.
Very interesting.
I only listen to him if it's somebody I want to listen to.
Exactly. I don't listen to Rogan regularly. It's the guest that drives.
And I never
it.
Get through the whole thing.
It's 3 hours, man. It's a lot. If I'm in the car, maybe. But
I'm kind of laughing over here though, because our shelves couldn't be more different.
Yeah. What do you got?
So I used to listen to mostly all educational things, and I've just gotten like to a point where. Not everything in your life has to be educational or like you don't have to always try to be learning something. So like one I listen to the most, Part of My Take, which.
Okay.
It's sports comedy.
Part of My Take is Barstool, right?
It's Barstool, but it could survive on its own.
Did you get what's the question? The funny question you got from there for this that we did.
Oh, what was it? I can't remember. No,
the shoes or the iPhone was me.
No, I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was the animal one. What animal could you
beat in a fight?
With your bare hands, yeah.
that was my most controversial answer yeah. the whole radio show.
So,
the giraffe got a lot of play on Instagram.
It did.
Yeah.
So that's one. This past weekend, just pure comedy, Theo Vaughn.
Oh, Theo Vaughn.
It's good. Actually number 3 on podcast charts now.
Really? So
out of all.
So Theo on Rogan is pure hilarity.
So funny.
Pure hilarity.
You should listen to his podcast with
no,
people.
No, I see
on
clips
it.
All the time. And I think he's funny. I've watched his.
He's better at that than stand up.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I think he probably knows that too.
I can't get through his Netflix special.
Yeah, it's rough. But then there's two others. This is a new one, Money Matters by Jack Maulers. He just started a new podcast. He owns Strike, built on the Bitcoin Lightning Network.
Yeah.
So he just had Jack Dorsey on.
Nice.
Just had Saquon Barkley on talking about the running back issue and money issues in the NFL. And then the other one's the Nick Bear podcast, who
you know,
I've talked about. And he's
of course.
Entrepreneurship, health. It's really, really good. I like his a lot.
Do you ever listen to our show?
No. I did in the beginning.
I did in the beginning too.
Just to make sure it sounded okay.
I don't anymore because
we say it.
You say it. You remember what it was. I was like, let me tell you an out of body experience I have listening to my own podcast prior to this and then now the radio show. I typically listen to podcasts during chore time at home. You know, so like my wife and I, we have like any couple, we have our division of responsibility. She tends to do laundry. I do dishes, right? Like she does shopping. I do pickups. We do our thing. So I'm doing the dishes most nights after dinner, right? And 3 kids, there's a lot of dishes. We're running the dishwasher pretty much every day. So I'm loading and unloading the dishwasher, and I've got one AirPod in usually, because I need to be able to hear the chaos around me and make sure that I like save a 3-year-old from like jumping off the, you know, whatever. So I'm listening, and if it's us, I'm hearing the conversation develop, and you like ask me a question, and my head goes to the place of answering the question before I answer the question on the show, and almost to the T, Ryan, almost to the T, the same exact words verbatim come to mind, and I almost get ready to speak them, and they're like, wait a minute. It's like a deja vu kind of experience.
So do you still listen to ours?
It's rare. Every once in a while, I'll listen to a few minutes. Just check it out here and there.
Yeah.
But not much at all. Not much at all. Really. I probably got half the episodes are played at all in my app.
I've got to the point now where, you know, it's awkward to hear your voice in the beginning. I've gotten to the point now where we've done so many videos and podcasts that it's not awkward to me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it honestly doesn't even sound like my voice to me when I'm hearing it. I don't know. It's
well,
weird.
Well, you don't hear your voice as you speak it the same way that other people hear it.
Right.
So, if that means anything to you.
Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, yeah. It's I've gotten over it. But, yeah. I'm like, dude, is that what I sound like? Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
There's always a cringy thing here and there. You're like, ah, I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, whatever. Can't take it back.
Yeah. It's not. All right. Any other podcasts? Or we'll jump in.
No,
next thing?
I think that's pretty much it. You know, I like I said, some political stuff. You know, I don't listen to any sports.
Any
stuff.
Books or anything? Audible books.
I try. It's very surface level listening for me mostly. So I have a hard time. I end up having to re-listen. Like back when I was doing a lot of running like you, like I would listen to audiobooks. I'd devour audiobooks to run.
Yeah. That's how I'm getting
but
them
I,
down now.
But I can't do it in the gym. It's not the same in the gym when I'm trying to like throw up like 4 sets of 8 with like a heavy.
You can't hear somebody talk about how life's simple.
Yeah. I need some crazy like hip hop or rock music going on in my head. So
yeah, anyway. Understandable. All right. We'll go ahead and start jumping into this one. We're not going to be able to finish it before the next segment.
Sure.
But, you know, you have a lot of companies. You want to name them before we
get
into it?
Yeah, so I've got the team, JT Pitts & Associates, which is a business in and of itself. I've got RE/MAX Premier Properties. I've got Premier Property Management Services, Motto Mortgage Premier Partners. And then if you want to call, like, my like personal investments. That's another company in and of itself. And then while you're there, I've got a partnership with my brother that holds real estate as well. So, I mean, 5, 6, something like that. Really 4 businesses, core businesses, and others like 2 holding companies for real estate.
Which ones demand the most of your time right now?
The team always demands the most of my time. The brokerage is rivaling it. The biggest growth opportunity is mortgage. And I'm pretty hands-off with property management.
Gotcha. Cool.
So, I mean, but that's just like division of responsibility again between partners. Like my wife and my brother and I are partners. I run the team. You know, that's just me. Jen's really not involved there. Zach runs the property management with Jen's help. I run the real estate with Jen's help, and I run Point mostly. You know, Andrew, our mortgage partner, pretty much runs the mortgage company. But if there is of the ownership group, I'm the one that is pretty much responsible. But that's so hand in hand with sales, so that's how that works.
Cool. Well, we got to cut to a couple ad sponsors. When we come back, I want to ask you where you see those companies going in the next few years. But we'll see you here in a sec. This is the Jay Pitts Show, Talk Radio 1080, Real News, Real Talk. See you in a sec.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
Talk Radio 1080. Real news, real talk.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. So, Jay, I was about to ask you where you see those companies going over the next few years, which I will do. But during that break, we were talking about, you know, how you've created a lot of videos, and sometimes you don't even remember videos you've done, and you have the same idea again, and maybe worried about people calling you out. But what I was about to say, what I see a lot of people saying, reuse ideas. Like, people don't remember that. And if they do remember that to comment something, they got a lot less going on in their life.
No, of course. Well, and if they do, that's the kind of engagement you want.
Like, I mean, they remember.
They remember that from 3 months ago. Fantastic. But yeah, like, so, you know, Hannah and I do, we put out, I should say she puts out, 5 short form videos a week, right? And the majority of them will cut from this, you know, radio show or a meeting. And essentially, I think we're trying to do 2 radio show clips a week. We're trying to do 1 meeting clip a week. We're trying to do a trend surf kind of situation where we find like a funny video.
Those have been good. I've liked those.
I've enjoyed them a lot, and that's all Hannah. I have nothing to do with that. Sometimes she'll run an idea by me, but most of the time it's 100% her. And those are funny. It adds some levity. And then we want to do 1, which I owe her a recording session right now because she's run out of me facing the camera, like teaching, talking, that kind of thing. And it seems like those are the ones that we recycle so much, or that I feel the urge to recycle so much. And I just don't even, we've maintained lists. They're so long. I don't even know. Like, I almost need a library.
You know, you're overcomplicating it.
I'm overcomplicating it, which, frankly, I revert and I just say, screw it. Can you say that? You say screw it on the radio. Screw it. We'll just do it again. All right. That's not one of the bad ones. Won't get my hand slapped for that. I did have my first bleep.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. Jim thankfully took care of me on that. But we won't repeat that. But yeah, I say screw it. Let's just do it again. So Hannah, we might be just, you know, retreading, you know, some ideas soon.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back on topic real quick. You don't have to take long to answer this, but where do you see a few of these companies in the next few years?
That's a great question. The funny thing for me, talk about not overcomplicating. You know, I've had an enormous improvement in results by just kind of letting things breathe the last few years. I used to try to force it to where I wanted it to go. And, you know, that exercise clouds judgment. But what I'll say, I think growth, for sure. How many agents? I mean, because, you know, real estate companies want to measure based on just one of a couple metrics. You want to know how many agents you want, how much gross commissions, how many units you want to close, how much volume you want to sell. All that is pretty meaningless, frankly. I want all the right agents, none of the wrong ones, right? I want to preserve the culture we built. Yeah, I want to make more money. Everybody does. You know, I don't think we can fit 200 agents in our current building. So, you know, we're at 100 plus.
Talk about adding on.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. I would say in
Jay's
5 years,
going to put a golf simulator in a gym.
I don't know about that. I'm going to put rentable square footage in. So that, you know how that goes.
You can sell gym memberships.
I could sell gym memberships. That's funny. No, I would say that we will do an addition on our current building, right? Inside of 5 years.
You going up or out?
Both. I'm going to probably do a 2-story addition. I'm looking like maybe 10,000. It'll double the size. It's 10,000 square feet. I'd like to go to 20. People are telling me I need to get access to the roof and put a rooftop patio. We'll see.
So what, they can stare at El Toro and Crunch?
La Fontenay Apartments. Anyway, so there's that. That will pave the way to have us increase in size, which I do think will happen. Property management. I would say it will grow by 20%. You know, we built it up, then we broke it down, and then we rebuilt it in a more profitable way. So that should continue. You know, the team, you know, I don't really see the team at 100 agents. I think that's probably limited by the leadership, you know, other than me. So, like, Luke and Phil are our pod leaders. Those guys are special individuals. I think we're capable to be the size we are now because of them and a few others, right, that are in leadership. But it's going to be hard for someone to rival them in terms of capability. If another person comes along, then I think that, you know, you could say 75 agents. If another two come along, then you could say 100. I could see potentially growing into with individuals like that into submarkets like Elizabethtown and Southern Indiana. I think Lexington's probably a little less likely, but E-Town I could certainly see because of our connections there. Indiana, I could certainly see it because of proximity. So I could see with the right individuals growing in size and in reach based on that. Mortgage is really the growth vehicle. Like, we're, you know, barely scratching the surface. I could see us being a $100 million mortgage company. And that would, you know, for me, I don't want to ever fall victim to the same trope that most real estate brokers do. They work and earn and invest, and that's great, but then the business doesn't continue when they're done because they're the reason everyone's there. So I need to find a way to replace myself, you know, continually add good folks and good leaders to come in to kind of take less and less of the burden, or take more and more of the burden from me, and then make myself personally less and less of the reason why people affiliate with our company. And, you know, I think that's how we build it to last. But, you know, I'm 41. Like, I don't have to be done tomorrow.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know that I'll ever be done.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, you have goals, but you don't want to set limits on anything. Like, it could get as big as you want it to get.
And then I could stop, or I could keep going.
Yeah. Like, you know, also has that philosophy.
Who's that?
Joey Chestnut. They asked him, what's the most amount of hot dogs you think you can eat? And he said, I'm not putting a number on it, because if a guy comes along and does 100, and I said 95, there's no chance I'd get 101. So,
well,
American hero.
I enjoy being compared to Joey Chestnut. I will say that watching Joey Chestnut has become slightly more repulsive as I've aged. At least him in
Bad take.
No,
become even better.
Do you know what I really...
He saved the hot dog competition this year. They tried canceling it, and he walked out. And
he, like, saved, he saved...
It's not the, happening.
Saved the sport.
Saved America.
Joey, listen, I can eat a lot of hot dogs. Trust me. Man, watching him is tough. But you know he runs like 40 miles a week?
I did. Yeah.
He runs a ton. And so, like, you know, I was actually, it's funny that you say that, bring this up. So I was talking about it with my kids the other day. And I'm like, so you have to be in good shape to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be like 800 pounds to eat the most hot dogs. You have to be 190 pounds and run 40 miles a week. Like, yeah. That's what it takes.
That's funny.
So, anyway.
All right. Away from Joey Chestnut.
Let's see.
Finish with this. So we've spent this show talking a lot about your entrepreneurship journey and some philosophies you have. What do you think are the most important characteristics for an entrepreneur to have?
Okay, so this was... the answer is obvious to me, but I'm going to have to probably define, because I feel like people overuse this word, but then don't define it. But to me, it's grit. That simple word. And we've talked a lot about simplifying, right? I could say resilience, because to me, grit is a lot. Resilience. It's a combination of resilience and toughness, right? So, like, you have to be able to take a punch, metaphorically speaking. You have to be able to take a punch, okay? Not just get up from one. You have to do both. You have to be able to take one, and you have to be able to get up. Because I think nothing ever happens the way you expect it to, right? There's always unintended consequences, always. Sometimes things are great, and life sucks because it's great. It's too good. it's really hard for a lot of people to reconcile that success makes life worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the best case scenario, right? The best case scenario when you're a new entrepreneur, in my mind, is that you can pay your bills, but you're miserable. Mm-hmm. That's like the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Like you're closer to a balanced life and success from there than you are from being happy and broke.
Yeah.
Right. So you go from happy and broke with a good idea, okay, to successful and miserable. Okay. But then you keep pushing and you make good choices that backs you down to a reasonable level of success and a more balanced life that allows you to enjoy the spoils of your efforts. And it's really tough. It's really tough for most people to reconcile that.
Yeah.
Like it just is. And like I interview real estate people all the time and they're like, I'm miserable. I need to start a team because that's like my thing, right? Like I help people start teams.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do and I do it well. And I need to start a team. Well, okay. But do you know that it's going to get worse before it gets better?
Yeah. We don't have really much time at all. I want to say like what I think it is though.
Yeah.
I think it's like not having fear to mess things up.
That's good.
Like
fear to fail.
I'm jealous of people like that. Yeah. Like, I think it's like they're almost naive. Like they don't even know what to be fearful of and they just make a lot of mistakes.
I agree. And not to belabor, because like you said, we don't have much time, but I think people that understand that failure doesn't define you are really susceptible to great success. Like if this doesn't work, I'll just do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you get knocked down doesn't mean you stay down. So, all right, folks, that's all the time we got. A little bit deep on you today. Certainly appreciate you tuning in and listening every Saturday morning here to Ryan and I and our musings. But we'll be back for you next week. Have a happy Saturday. I am Jay Pitts, the host of Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080. For Ryan Harris, we'll see you next week. Peace. Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of The Jay Pitts Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A, in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.